All right. Anyway, guys, we're glad to be here. If you have a child that is in second through fifth grade, they can go with us. At this time, our Kidmo kids are dismissed. You guys go back there. Follow Kurt. Follow the leader back there. You guys are going to have a great time. So if you got a second through fifth grader and they want to go back and have a great time in that ministry, they're welcome to do so. Now, all the rest of you guys, thanks for being here. This is a series called Weird. How many of you know somebody? Okay, what's going on with that thing? Is that better? I'm weird. Yes, I am weird. You guys didn't think that we'd do a whole sermon series called Weird and I wouldn't teach, did you? You know, you got to know me. If you know me, you know I'm kind of weird. But hey, I'm glad that we're talking about this because as Christians, we're supposed to be weird in kind of a good way. Now, how many of you know people that are weird in a bad way? Yeah. How many know Christians that are weird in a bad way? Yeah. There's a few of those around. Today, what we're going to be talking about is a topic called blessings. What do you think of when you think of being blessed? Well, I think of being blessed out by somebody is what I think of. That may be a Southern term solely, but I've been blessed out a few times. I don't know about you guys. But it's talking about God's favor in our lives and things that God does for us. And we want to talk about just what blessings are and what they really look like in a Christian life and how weird that's going to look to the world to be blessed when we do it in a Christ-like way and we do it in the way the Bible says. But before we get started, let's just have a word of prayer and ask God to bless us this morning. Father, thank you. I thank you for everyone here. God, just pray that this morning the Holy Spirit will move in our midst and we'll really learn and apply what it means to be blessed by you, God, and get those crazy, weird ideas we have of what a blessing is and set them aside and look truly from your word and see what it says it's like to be blessed and how weird that may look to the world, but how absolutely great it is to us, God. And we just thank you for your son and all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, this morning we're going to start out reading in the book of Genesis. If you don't have a Bible and would like to follow along, you can go on your mobile device to YouVersion and look for us. It's up there. You can follow along on YouVersion. It's got my text and outline there. And also, if you don't have YouVersion, the app on your phone or your tablet, I would encourage you to download that. It is a great mobile Bible that you can use. It has study guides in it, reading plans. And like I said, each week we put our notes and things in there so you can follow along with us, even if you don't have a paper Bible with you. And if you don't own a Bible and you would like to have a hard copy, we have free ones out there in the lobby area and the hallways you leave. Be sure and pick one of those up if you would like to have one of those. But this morning we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation in Genesis chapter 12, starting with verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." There's a lot in that verse about blessing and being blessed. Now, one thing, as you read through Scripture, that I want you to always understand, if there's a word in a passage that's repeated several times, it's usually pretty important. It's done for emphasis. It's done so that you'll know, hey, this is something I really need to pay attention to. Let's get a hold of what blessing is. Well, the first thing in this passage we see is there are two things that are opposites. Being blessed is the opposite of being cursed. Okay? Anybody ever had a curse put on them? Don't raise your hand. Because actually, I know a few people that have had relationships with others that dabbled in witchcraft and that thing, and they have actually been cursed, or so the person thinks. One thing you've got to remember is that any cursing that anybody can try and put on you is overridden by the blood of Christ and what Jesus has done for us. So there's no such thing for a Christian. Just keep that in mind. God's blessings always override those curses. If we're following God and following what He wants us to do, and He's blessing us, there's no such thing as a curse on a Christian. So keep that in mind if somebody says that. Don't be afraid of those things. We're getting ready to come up into that Halloween season where we talk a lot about the supernatural and all those sort of things. And don't let that get you down and get worried about somebody's going to curse you or something like that. Remember, as a Christian, you are covered by Jesus' blood, and those curses are of non-effect to you because that would mean that Satan's greater than Jesus. How many of you guys believe that? No way, man. We give him more power and more credit than he is due because he is a defeated foe that Jesus defeated when he was crucified on the cross and rose on the third day. That means that Satan has no power in your life that you don't give him. But now, if you give it to him, he'll take it. Okay? Just keep that in mind. He will take and take and take until he takes over your entire life if you allow him to. But we should always remember there's a difference between being blessed and being cursed. So being blessed is the opposite of being cursed. Now, blessings are a positive thing that we should want in our life. Now, if you were asking to be blessed, what would you ask for? Anybody want to shout one out? Something you'd like to be blessed with? Get gas mileage. Yes, I had to. I took care of that yesterday. Our family is now blessed with double the gas mileage we were getting. So, yay! That's a great thing in this day and time, is to have a blessing of good gas mileage and a reliable vehicle. Those are blessings, I guess. What's something else somebody thinks of? It's a fantastic thing to be able to bless others. You know, do you like people that bring good into your life? Do you like people that bring good things into your life? People that bring, and I'm not talking about financial things necessarily, but people, when you see them, just the smile on their face does something to you, makes you feel welcome. Man, we have somebody here, and I'm going to brag on them a little bit, Miss Jean. She's a blessing on Sunday mornings. Yay! Absolutely. Do you know, there's some people, that may be the only hug and smile they get this week is from Miss Jean here. And it's a blessing to get to come in and see that. Man, I enjoy seeing her every week. You know, now, Kelly says she's not always like that. Kelly says when he was but a lad that she would tear him up if he did something. Can you imagine Miss Jean spanking Kelly? I just can't. I can imagine Kelly needing a spanking, but I don't know if I can see Miss Jean doing it, okay? But, yeah, it's people that bless us and bring good things into our lives. But for any of this to happen, the first thing we've got to have is we've got to have a relationship with God to even be blessed to start with. You notice that's one of the things that God's talking about. He talks about they're going to leave their native country here in Genesis, and he's going to make them into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. He's talking about a relationship that he's going to have with them. He says that you'll be a blessing to others. That's what we were just talking about, where we're a blessing in other lives. He said, and I'll bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. I'm not sure how that looks in modern times. I understand when the nation of Israel was young and they were battling with those around them and they were trying to set themselves apart. I understood how God blessed and cursed us. I mean, the simplest example you can think about, the movie The Ten Commandments. How many of y'all have ever seen the movie with Charlton Heston? You know, that crowd gets less and less every year because it is getting to be an older movie and people may not know. But it's the story of the children of Israel being freed from Egyptian bondage, where they were in bondage to the Egyptians. But the thing that you see in that is God blesses his people by releasing them, and every time that the Egyptians try to do something against them, he curses them. There's all kinds of things. You see plagues, and you see rivers turned into blood, and you see the Red Sea parted, and then it comes and collapses on the soldiers that are chasing them. We see that. What does that look like today? I don't know, because as Christians, sometimes we don't always get the best end of the deal in the world, do we? Do you think that Christians are favored in our society even anymore? What do you think? I think we do still have some blessings. I think God still does show favor on us. But I think the world in general is kind of over the whole Christian thing at times, because we haven't lived up to what God talks about. When I spoke a few weeks ago, we talked about how God set his nation apart. And that was so they looked different. After they came out of their bondage in Egypt, God wanted everybody to see this bunch of former slaves and see how different they acted and how different they treated the ones around them and how he was blessing them because of that. As Christians, we've made the same mistake that those people have done. We haven't shown Christ through us sometimes. We haven't necessarily been a blessing to others. And so sometimes the world looks at us in a dim way because we haven't been at the forefront leading as we should. But for us to be a blessing to others and for us to be blessed as God's people, we've got to have a relationship with him. Now the problem is, as the church in America, we've fallen into the same view that the world has, that material wealth is a sign of blessing and that bigger is better. How many of you would ever look at a church that has over 1,000 people in attendance and say they're not successful? Just on the outside, if they've got 1,000 people, they've got to be successful, right? No, it's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily untrue either. God judges the blessings in a church by the fruit that it shows through his people. It's what his people are doing for him through that church. That's the sign of blessing, whether it's a congregation of 10 or 15 or 10 or 15,000. That's what being blessed as a church is about, is as we go out and we see the fruit of our work and how we see people coming to Christ. We see their lives turned around. We see blessings coming upon them. That's God's sign. Size, physical size of a church does not matter in God's scheme of whether it's blessed or not. And that's something, even as a pastor, I have seen. You will very rarely go to a conference anywhere and hear a small church pastor speak. It's always the big mega church pastor, because you know what? He's got it going on and he knows. Maybe, maybe not. Okay, Sean is making weird. Are you trying to get my attention? Oh, he's just stretching. See, we are a weird, but I told you it's like this every week. I'm looking, and it's dim back there in the lights from my eyes, and I see Sean going, I'm thinking, is there a string hanging? Is there something wrong with this? No. Oh, that's cool. We're all right. And hey, and Sean, if you need my attention, you know, you can just holler at me, or you can flash something mean up on the screen, and everybody will laugh, and then I'll know you're trying to get my attention. But wealth, we think of wealth as blessing. Y'all think that's true? All right, let's look at some of the richest people we can think of. Who's a rich person that comes to mind? Bill Gates. Who else? Who? Trump. Donald Trump. Gates. Trump. Kanye West. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? Steve Jobs from Apple. Yeah, I knew Sean wouldn't mention the Apple guy. He's a good Microsoft guy, so he mentioned Bill Gates. I'll do the countering off for Steve Jobs. How many of these people have any fruit of their life in their lives as a Christian that you know of? How many of them do you see as being an example of, hey, those people are following Jesus, and they're doing the things in this world that I think would really make Jesus happy? Not that I know them well enough to know that they are or aren't Christians, but I'm just saying, from the things we see, what's going on there? Are they really blessed? You know, if the sign of us being blessed is wealth, there's something wrong with that equation then. Because we see people that are indeed wealthy that we know are horrible people. Okay? So it can't be material wealth to be what a blessing is. That can't be true. Because we see people that do bad things that are blessed. You know, there are drug dealers that make more than any of us in this room. Do you think that's a sign of God blessing them? Can't be, guys. Wealth cannot be the determination of blessing. So what is a blessing? The Bible paints a very different picture of what it looks like to be blessed. And as I read through this passage of Scripture, we're going to come back and break down some of the individual components of it. You're going to think, okay, this fits the weird topic series for this month. Because if that's being blessed, I'm not sure that I want any of these things that Jesus is talking about. This is from Jesus' famous sermon we call Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. We have several names for it. But these are the words that Jesus spoke about blessing. And I want you to listen. If you want to follow along, it's in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now, how many of you are rethinking this whole thing about wanting to be blessed today? How many of those sounded like positive attributes in your life that, okay, let's just take the first one that's mentioned, being poor. Yes, God, please take all my material things away from me and make me poor so I can be blessed. Any volunteers today? I will take your excess goodies and I will distribute them somehow if you want to give them away. That's not what I think of being blessed. But there's a theme here, and I'll give you the overarching theme of this after we go through each one of these. Mourning. We think of that as primarily a loved one that's passed away, we're mourning for them. I'll tell you something else that's very real in our society today is mourning the loss of a relationship. Even if a person isn't dead, maybe you had an ongoing relationship with someone and that someone is not in your life anymore. That's a very real sense of mourning and the loneliness that comes from broken relationships, whether it either be just from misunderstandings and parting of ways, or whether it be that they went on through death. Those things bring about mourning in our lives and sadness we think of. You know, the next one here, it says, you know, you're blessed if you're humble. Well, now we automatically know Donald Trump is not blessed, right? That's not my definition of humble, is it? You know, you ever seen him on TV? He's not the most humble guy. So, you know, that can't be it. We hunger and thirst for justice. I can go with that one now. That one doesn't seem to penalize me in any way that I want to be things to be just and right in the world. I think I could go with that one. Being merciful. Ooh. How many of you ever taken one of those spiritual gift tests where it says what you're... Yeah, I know somebody that's laughing back there, and I know why. How many of you ever taken one of those things that says you're gifted in these areas? Guys, any of you taking those? We've done it here a few times. We're going to do it again here in the near future. But it gives you these gifts, and one of the gifts that can be is mercy, okay? Okay, I'm going to come clean this morning. I don't think they've ever seen it, but I think I scored a negative number in that area, okay? You know, it's like, okay, your gift of mercy is -7. Hey, that is not my gift. I'm maybe not necessarily understanding. I'm more of the black and white guy. Here's what it says. Here's what you need to do. I'm sorry, but if you're not going to do that, you know, okay, let's part ways and go on because I'm not going to waste my time with you. Now, I'm not really quite that harsh, but inside sometimes I think that I'm like, you know the truth. Why don't you just do it? Why don't you just act right? Why don't you do the things that God tells you to do and quit coming to me complaining about it and just do it? Not very merciful sometimes. But God says it's a blessing if we're blessed if we're merciful. Pure at heart, pure, thinking on good things, not thinking of the bad, not, and this could be anything from sexual purity to the thoughts you have to how you treat others, all things is wrapped up in that purity. Working for peace, that kind of goes with hungering and thirsting for justice. We want peace in places. We don't want people to be persecuted. We want peace if we're going to be blessed. Sometimes, mentioned this a little bit earlier, we're persecuted, and I'll roll this into it, and mocked for doing the wrong thing. Or for doing the right thing. We're mocked by the wrong people. Anybody ever mocked your Christianity, especially those of you that maybe came to Christ later in life? What happened to you? You're not the same. You're not supposed to be the same. You know, that's one of the ones I often like, especially in our recovery ministry. We see people that their friends will say, well, you're not the same. You don't go do this anymore. You don't treat your friends the same as you did. Yeah, I grew up and you didn't. At some point in time, we have to face the fact that we have to perform in the adult society as adults if we're ever, you know, going to make it in life. If that's the change that's come about you and your friends haven't matured to that level, there's nothing wrong with you. It's them, okay? And a lot of times people try to drag us back down to their level, whether it be spiritually or whether it be in our addictions or whatever it might be. We see that and they mock us. Oh, well, you went to church on Sunday. You're one of those holier-than-thou people. You're one of those Christians, so I guess that makes us automatically a hypocrite. Have you not ever seen any hypocrites that don't go to church? Why does the church get blamed with that? Oh, those church people are hypocrites. Well, politicians are one. Okay, that's a hypocrite most of the time. There's all kinds of hypocrites because many of us don't do what we say we're going to do, whether we're in church or not. So that's a silly argument about being hypocrites, but we get mocked for that. The church gets mocked, persecuted. The church in America is not that persecuted, okay? It may be coming. We're seeing little signs of things that happen. But nobody's going to bust in here from the government today and say, Scott, I'm going to kill you for talking about Jesus. It's just not happening yet. Now, we need to be on our guard against that. It's not the same in other countries. We've seen on the news recently that people are persecuted for their religious beliefs on both sides, okay? It's not just Christians being persecuted all over the world. There are Muslims and there are other people that are also being persecuted. So keep that in mind, guys. It's not just a persecution of Christians. There are evil people who will persecute anybody that doesn't agree with them. Evil is evil, no matter what the religion is, okay? Or evil. And just always remember that. But the one thing that all these things come in common with, talk about being poor and mourning and humble and all this, you know, you can't be blessed and lead a self-centered life. You can't always be worried about it. You know, the poor is one example I want to give you. Okay, if you're constantly worried about making money and getting out of being poor, and you can't get there, and that's your gauge of being blessed, you're never going to be blessed. Being blessed is being content where you're at in life. You know, whatever God has given you in this life, it's about finding happiness there. self-centered internal happiness that is based on God, not on your own needs. All these things that we're reading about, and I think that's the reason Jesus used these, is it's contrasting what the world thinks blessed looks like. We would say these things are weird, that you would aspire to be these things. Now, again, I'm not saying you have to go out and sell everything you've got. You've got to be poor to do this. You've got to have mourning in your life. You've got to have these things to be blessed. What Jesus was trying to say here was, my blessings aren't determined by your physical conditions and the things going on in your life. My blessings are independent of that. How many times have we talked about Jesus saying, my kingdom is not of this world? Most of these things that we're talking about here are of this world in one way or another. Jesus' kingdom looks very different from that. It's not of this world. And that's the reason so many Christians are unhappy. I just heard this week, recently, we heard of Robin Williams, you know, taking his own life. That was sad. A lot of us liked Robin Williams. He was a funny guy. I liked watching him. I liked hearing his comedy. And, you know, you would think of all people that wouldn't be depressed and take their own life. He would, you know, he had material wealth. He was a funny guy. People loved him. He wasn't persecuted. People really liked him. But there was something missing in his life that caused him to take his own life. You know, and we hear about that. And it happens to Christians as well. We've accepted Christ, but somehow we haven't figured out how to accept his blessings and what that looks like in our lives. And we're looking for something else. It's amazing. You know, and what brought this to mind with the deal with Robin Williams is I had a fellow pastor from North Georgia area texted me this week. One of his friends, who is a fellow pastor, committed suicide. Now, of all people that should know what God's blessings look like and how your life's supposed to work as a child of God, it should be a pastor. And the man took his own life because of problems he was having in his life and the struggles he was having. And for some reason, it wasn't enough that he couldn't get those blessings into his heart and realize what they were. He wasn't happy where he was at. And he took his own life as a pastor. And guys, that's not uncommon. You just don't hear about it. You're not in the circles that I'm in. I hear about it on a regular basis. A pastor that has taken his own life, or if, at the very least, given up his ministry to go do something else because it's just not worth it to him. Guys, it happens to us as Christians, too, when we don't realize what it's really like to be blessed and be happy. But I love the words that, you know, Jesus talked about it being self-contained happiness. And we'll use this as an example for you guys to get a feel for this. The Greeks called the island of Cyprus the Happy Island. You understand that? The word blessed that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount is from the Greek word makarios, which means to be happy or blissful, but also means a self-contained happiness. All those things where Jesus said, blessed are the poor, the mocked, the persecuted. He's talking about makarios, which means to be happy or blissful in self-contained happiness. And the Greeks had this island in Cyprus that they called the Happy Island. Now, that already sounds good, does it not? That sounds like I'm going to book my next vacation through Travelocity to the Happy Island. Look at this picture of the Happy Island. Now, how many of you do not want to go there? Okay, you may be one of those really fair-skinned people that burn easily or something. The rest of... Don, are you there? Yeah, Don's there with both hands up. Yes, there is his... right there on the little pool, third beach chair over from the right. I can see Don sitting there enjoying himself. I know Don well enough to know some of the things he enjoys. Does that look like a happy place? Does that look like a place? The reason they call this the Happy Island is the Greeks felt that this was a place you could live and everything you needed was on this island. It had the perfect temperature, the perfect climate. The soil was rich. You could grow things there. It was the perfect environment to live in, and they called that makarios. Jesus used that same word to describe our happiness. What that means is it's a self-contained happiness. It's something that comes from inside us that's independent of our circumstances. Happiness is independent of our circumstances. It is self-contained. I mean, it's not affected by whether I have a new car, an old car, whether I get 12 miles to the gallon or 24 miles to the gallon, whether I have a big fat bank account or whether I struggle from paycheck to paycheck. Doesn't matter. None of that is blessed. We are blessed when we take those circumstances and we're okay with wherever we're at in life because we know there's a bigger purpose. And we're going to get to that in a minute, what that looks like and why we can be happy in these areas. But when we find our purposes and fulfillment in God, we find ourselves in a happy place. That's the reason that it amazes me so much with pastors that struggle with this, that pastor would take his own life You know, I would think that surely they have found their purpose and fulfillment in God of all people. You're doing this on a professional or semi-professional basis as us, or purely amateur as most of us. You know, these are things that you should understand, that being blessed and being happy is when you're doing what God wants you to do in life. And that doesn't mean you had to be a pastor. That doesn't mean you had to teach a children's ministry over here. It doesn't mean you had to feed the poor. It means you do whatever God leads you to do at the time that He leads you to do it. And you enjoy that because you know God is directing you. Look at Job 5:17. It says, "Behold, blessed is the one who God reproves. Therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty." Now, again, that's weird. How many of you, when you were children, or some of you that are younger that are in our midst today, think it's a really great thing when mom or dad punish you? Yeah, that's not one of the things I look for as a blessing. Okay, I've done something wrong, and you're going to punish me for it. I probably didn't think it was wrong to start with, or I might not have done it. You're just kind of weird, Dad. You know, I there's nothing wrong with it. I don't understand why that's a big deal to you. There's nothing wrong with this. How many of you have heard this as parents? All my friends are doing it. Why can't I? You're old-fashioned. You're disciplined. That's not seen in a positive light. But when God disciplines us, He's doing it for a reason, and He's blessing us. And the reason is we are blessed when God disciplines us and directs us towards the right path. He's trying to focus us in an area that He knows is going to start bringing that internal happiness. He knows if we follow Him along this path, we're going to be happier and more productive in our lives, and we're going to share these things with others. We're going to love it. We're going to know we're on the right path, and that's being blessed. Now, sometimes when God disciplines us, we don't even recognize it sometimes. We think we're being cursed instead of blessed. Have you ever felt that way? How many of you have ever been, especially in, I talk a lot about relationships as part of our Friday night ministry here. It's not just about drug addictions and things, because most of that is tied up in relationships. It's our relationships to someone that's addicted. If we're overcoming those addictions, it's about our relationships, those we may have hurt. Almost all of this problem comes out of our relationships with others. And we talk a lot about relationships. How many of you have ever felt blessed when God has taken a relationship away from you? We've got a couple here that have recognized that fact. God sometimes removes people from our lives because He knows they're keeping us from the path He wants us on. Do we understand it at the time? Probably not. We see it as a curse. We see it as, oh God, why did you take this person away? I know they had their problems, and I know they did this and this and this and this and this and this and this. But I still love them, God, and I want to be with them, and I don't understand why you took them from me. We mourn those relationships sometimes, and we go chasing after something that God's removing from us to protect us. But it's hard as just a normal human being sometimes to see that. We're just all human here. And sometimes those things hurt, and we don't understand why God does them. But He's doing it to get us on the right path. He takes those people out of our lives sometimes because He knows and sees where we're going to go. Some of the hardest things you may have to do in your life is to help make that happen for somebody. It's to say, honestly, I see what this person is doing to you. I see what they're doing to your life. I see what they're doing to your walk with Christ. It's probably not good for you to be around them. You're going to have to tell them. They're either going to have to respect you, respect the boundaries you have in your life, and respect you as a Christian, or they're going to have to move on. That is hard to tell somebody. It's often not well received either. But it is the truth oftentimes. It's what we need to do to progress in our lives and get healthier and to have that contentment and happiness that God wants us to have. Sometimes we just have to move on. It's not popular in society, and somehow the church has gotten the wrong idea that we have to be nice and support everyone in every situation like that, and we can't hurt anyone's feelings, and if we can't say anything good, maybe we just need to back out of that and not deal with that. And that's the problem in the church today, is we don't deal with those situations. We gloss over it, and we let somebody suffer because we don't want to hurt somebody else's feelings. And it's not right, guys. It's not Christ-like. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. You know, the Bible talks about the Scriptures can be used to reprove people. And I'm not talking about condemning people unnecessarily. I'm just talking about speaking the truth, but doing it in a loving manner. That's where we fail as Christians so often. Is we're really good at telling people, you need to do this. This is what God is telling you to do, and He's using me to tell you, and I want you to straighten up and you do this. But we don't do it in a loving manner. We don't tell them why. We don't tell them that God's got a path and he's probably trying to direct your path. We don't go and say, guys, here's where you're going to get a blessing out of doing this. I know it doesn't look like it now, but trust me, Scripture says these things are wrong. And if you're going to be with this person in your life, you've got to let them know it's wrong. Now, you don't have to expect them to change immediately. They may or may not. But you have to realize sometimes you have to put distance between you and those that are in relationships with you because they're harmful. We have to distance ourselves from that sometimes. And it's hard and it hurts. Parents have had to do that with children. I know many relationships in here today that are strained between parents and children because of the activity of either the parent or the child. And there needs to be separation there because they're poisoning the entire family with their activities. And it's hard and it hurts. But sometimes we have to do those things and it's awful. And we deal with a lot of that in our ministry on Friday nights. It's trying to help people through those situations. But God often disciplines us to get us on the right path. Along those same lines, from Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on how his law, and on his law he meditates day and night. What that's saying, that's not saying that you can't be around sinners. How could we ever as a church influence anybody or impact their lives if we can't be around sinners? That's one of our problems sometimes as a church. We isolate ourselves in what is called a holy huddle, and we don't associate with anybody but the good people that we know that we think are doing what God wants. We don't even know that, guys. They have some good external appearances, but they may not be producing fruit in their lives either. They may not be any more blessed than God than the person that's far away from him. We don't know that, but we need to realize we have to maintain a relationship with sinners, but we don't have to sin with them, okay? We have to maintain a relationship with sinners, but we don't have to commit sins with them. You know, if you're someone, I'll give you an example that's easy for me, is if you're someone that isn't affected by alcohol and has never been tempted by that, you can go to the bar and hang out with somebody. If you've got a friend that drinks, never have been tempted by that. That is not one of my vices. That is not something that bothers me. I can go and sit down in any place and order a Diet Coke or a water, and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't tempt me. I have no desire for that. But if, on the other hand, you are, don't be stupid. Don't think, well, I can handle this because I'm witnessing to my sinner friends, and I know I'm really weak in this area, but God will strengthen me, and I'll go hang out with them, and it won't impact me in the least. You're fooling yourself when you do that. That's not what God's talking about. He's telling us specifically here, there are sins and sinners sometimes we need to stay away from for our own good. There are things we shouldn't partake in because they'll bring us down and they will make us not be blessed. He says, walk not in the counsel of the wicked. Don't listen to people that have wicked ways and wicked ideas and things that are counter to what you know is right, as far as the Bible says. Don't listen to those people. But it doesn't mean necessarily you have to cut off a relationship with them unless it's to the point that it's so poisoning your own soul that you can't be the person God intends you to be. And that's the hard part about it sometimes, is recognizing where that line is. Because I don't want to abandon people. I don't want to abandon. Because guess what? Until we take our last breath here on earth, God doesn't abandon any of us. There is always hope. There's always a chance. And, you know, I think if I'm going to be Christ-like, I have to balance that too. And not give up, because I believe anybody can make that decision. Now, will you get the same blessings that we do? We'll talk about this in a minute, in eternity. No, I don't think so. I think there's a difference there. But one of the things that just infuriated me last week was seeing people talking about Robin Williams, and it was especially some conservative Christians that Robin Williams is being persecuted in hell today. You don't know that. That kills me when we start judging people like that. Now, by Robin's life and the fruits in it, I don't know if he was a follower or not. I don't know if he was a believer. I know there were people that had witnessed to him from accounts and had told him what it looked like to be in the love of Jesus. I don't know. Maybe he committed suicide because he wanted to be with that person he's heard that loved him so much. I don't know what happened there. I can't tell you. It's not my job, okay? That's God's job to figure that out. And we often go down those paths and we start saying, well, that person was wicked. We don't know. And there is a chance until you take that last breath and it's too late that God can always reach down and you can grab that hand and be saved. If you want to believe that Christ died for your sins, if you want to believe that he rose on the third day and he paid a penalty for the things that you've done so that you wouldn't have to pay that penalty, you can be saved. It's that simple. Now, will you miss out on blessings because you didn't live a life as a Christian? Yeah, you may do that. But Christ told the thief on the cross who had lived a wicked life and was so wicked that he was being put to death, he simply told him, you'll be with me today in paradise. He didn't do anything else. So don't ever give up. Don't give up on people. But sometimes put distance between you and those others, depending on what's going on in their lives, if it's bringing you to the point that you can't be a blessing. Don't repay evil for evil. This is from 1 Peter chapter 3. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you a blessing. How many of you, I'm not going to look at anybody in particular, are ever, ever tempted to go toe-to-toe with someone that insults you or says something? Anybody like that? Yeah. Where's Kelly at? Kelly back there? Yeah, I figured I would hear his chain on his wallet jingling as he jumped up and said, ooh me, ooh me. Hey, we do that. I can laugh with Kelly in that because I'm the same way. I love to get the better of some person sometimes. And sometimes it goes over the line, and I do it out of ill will, and I shouldn't do that. But often it's because I want to tell the truth, but sometimes I do it, you know, and it's not right. And we have to struggle with that. But we're not supposed to repay evil for it. We're supposed to be a blessing to other people. You know, don't argue politics on Facebook if you want to be a blessing to somebody. There's rule number one. You know, we have it was really kind of interesting. Kelly and I were talking to a guy, mutual acquaintance, who had another mutual acquaintance the other day. He said, what'd you do to so-and-so? You know, he's become a full-blown atheist. And this guy coming from an atheist. Now, there may be a gem of truth in there. Because some of the things that he disagreed on were purely political. It wasn't about faith. I don't know. But it makes you think, doesn't it? It makes you think, should I do something different there? And don't repay evil for evil. You know, don't create needless, senseless arguments and things like that just for the sake of being right. That is one of our problems as Christians. We are so self-centered, we think we have to be right and show people that we're right in order to be a witness. That makes no sense based on what Christ has told us. But we think, well, I'm right, and I need to show you I'm right so you'll know God's right. Come on, most of us don't live a good enough life to be an example to anybody. So we're surely not going to need to try and convince them that we're right, especially by what they see our lives being. Our ultimate blessing is in our salvation through Jesus who reconciles us with God. That's what he is talking about in all this. No matter the situation, no matter what we've done, Jesus came, died for us on the cross, bore our sins so we wouldn't have to pay the penalty for it, rose again on the third day. Those statements are called the gospel. If anybody asks you, we preach the gospel, you can give them that example. That is an example of the gospel. And that's how we are reconciled with God. Without Jesus' death, we could never be reconciled with God. We need to be on that same relationship with him to be blessed, as I was saying earlier. Look at this from Romans chapter 4. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. This is good news, guys. That's the reason the gospel was called the good news. If you have accepted Christ, the rotten things you've done in your life, the things that aren't honoring to God or man or anybody else, and the things that you will do in the future have been forgiven. That's good news. That doesn't mean we go on sinning. God, Paul's words in the New Testament were, God forbid, guys, don't get the idea that you can go on and keep doing bad things and God's going to continue and bless you if you know not to do them. But he said, those things where you, just through human nature, you do the wrong thing through that sinful nature you have, and you do the wrong thing. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are reconciled with God and he does not see that sin. That's good news. Because we all sin. We're told we all sin. We fall short of God's standards. Every week, most of us, I will say I do for sure, you do something that's probably not pleasing to God. You either do things that you shouldn't do or don't do the things you should do. Both are equally not pleasing to God. But we are reconciled. Our sins are covered and we're blessed. And it's not counted as sin against us if we have Jesus Christ in our lives. We should be happy at all times when we remember that all the bad things we have done will not be counted against us. That's like a free pass. That's like I've done all these things as terrible, as awful, and it's like, no biggie, go for it. That's the way it is with God. It's no biggie now. Now, we may have to pay some of the penalty here on earth for the things we do, because there are consequences to sin. You know, you may be a drunk or a drug addict and you've wrecked your body with the chemicals you put in it. God doesn't necessarily heal your body physically. Sometimes you may have to pay the penalty that in your body is failing and things don't function as they should because of the things you've put in it. You know, we may lose relationships because of the way we've treated others. There are things that are a direct result in this world of our sin, but God doesn't see them. In the eternal perspective, we are forgiven. We should be happy about that. And here's one of the things I like the best about this, is no matter how bad this world gets, remember, God has the final word. No matter what happens, no matter what America looks like, no matter what happens anywhere in the world, whether it be Russia or the Middle East or whatever, God has the final word. He's got it. God is taking care of it. And we need to remember that. That should be something to be happy about in its own, shouldn't it? Just remember, God's got this. He's got our backs. He's taking care of us. And He has the final word. You know, it's not like we can dedicate our entire lives to this thing of being a Christian, and suddenly we get up, we believe in Christ, we've accepted Him as our Savior, we've tried to follow Him best we can, and we get up there to the pearly gates, and Satan says, I don't think He was good enough, God. I think He did so-and-so, so-and-so. And God says, yeah, you're right. Kicks you off into the bottomless pit. That's not how it works. Satan can be our adversary. He can tell God anything. He'll tell, shut up. My son defeated you on the cross. You're a nobody. I don't hear that anymore. He doesn't even have access to God to say that in the throne room. God cast him out. Don't think that he has the power that he doesn't. And remember that. And that's a victory for us at all times. Just remember that God doesn't see that anymore. He sees only what his son did for us. And that's a fantastic blessing. That's what it's like to be blessed. Is to know that God has the final word. I like these words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says, writing from prison, where he would eventually be executed by the Nazi regime, German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew this firm hope. Blessing means laying one's hand on something and saying, despite everything, you belong to God. No matter what happens, it's often said like this, that we cannot be snatched from God's hand. Once we've accepted Christ, we are there. He holds us in his hand. And no matter how bad Satan may try and persecute us, tempt us, no matter how much we can sin, we cannot be plucked from his hand. God has us. And that should be enough for us to know that. But being blessed is impossible without being in a relationship with God. All these things we've talked about today, being able to handle those situations, being able, when we're persecuted, or when we're poor, when we're mocked, all these things that come about in our lives, when we lose relationships, when we become addicted to substances, when we have to deal with any of these negative things in our lives, we can't be blessed in those situations unless we first have a relationship with God. So many of us seem to want God to prove himself by blessing us before we really have a relationship with him. We kind of get things backwards. Well, God, if you really love me, you show me this by doing this for me. Uh-uh. Not the way it works. We have to be willing to show God that we trust him and obey him in order for the blessings to flow. So many times we are trying to basically ransom blessings out of God, saying, God, you said you're good, and if you're good, you'll bring so-and-so back into my life because I love them, and you're going to do that. Or God, if you're good, you'll help me to do this. Or God, if you're good, no. God says to surrender to him wholly, entirely in our lives, and then he'll take care of us, is the way it works. It doesn't work in reverse, guys, and so many of us get that backwards. But finally, we need to look forward to the ultimate blessing that we've been promised. Life in the new creation where all the evils of this life have been destroyed and we get unhindered access to God. Man, even if you can't maybe feel it sometimes in your life here on earth, maybe if you're persecuted, maybe things going on, maybe you don't have that internal happiness. You hadn't been able to figure that out. Maybe today you'll start to realize that. But remember, the ultimate goal. You know, we live this life here on earth. That's a huge part of what we do, but it's only a microscopic part of God's entire plan for us. Okay? His plan is for us to be with him for eternity, forever and ever, and have a relationship with him there. And we'll be unhindered in our access to God. We can fellowship with him, talk with the Son, Jesus. We can do that. And that is the ultimate goal. And that's what I'm talking about. Is sometimes we get the perspective of being blessed that it's all about being here on earth. there are things that we will be blessed with in heaven. It talks about crowns and rewards and things that will be coming our way if we serve God and do the things He wants. I want you to remember that too. There's an eternal side of this as well. It's not just about what we do here in the Chattanooga metro area as Christians and how we're viewed by others and how our lives are and how our relationship with His God, with those here around us and with God. There's an eternal perspective to that. I always like to look at it like this. Focus on the smallest dot I can see is the dot over the eye and weird. Imagine that as a pencil-sized dot. And then imagine a line that encircles the entire globe that goes from each side of that dot and comes all the way around the earth and back into that dot. That doesn't even begin to touch how big eternity is. That's how big it is to us and how big a deal it is to God. And that there are things that are going to go on in a realm outside of this earth that are going to be incredible. It talks about us being blessed. It talks about the things that we will be doing with God for all eternity. Use that as an encouragement, if nothing else, to know that, hey, God has something huge planned for all of us. What portion of it's here on this earth? I don't know. I don't know how that looks in your life. That's between you and God. It looks different for everybody. It may be that you're one of the richest people in Chattanooga and you use that wealth to glorify God and His Son and make Jesus famous in the community. Maybe that. It may be you're the poorest person in the world and you're an inspiration to others because you haven't lost your faith through your poorness. Or you may be the sickest individual in Chattanooga and you may be admired for your non-wavering faith despite your physical affliction. I don't know how God is going to bless you. I don't know how that's going to look in your life. But remember, your happiness is not determined by your circumstances. It's determined by your relationship with God. It's determined by who you know and not what you know. Guys, I'd like to leave you with that thought this morning. As we're dismissed this morning, guys, you'll go ahead and stand. We'll be dismissed. Oh, wait, I forgot Richard. I'm sorry. That's payback, Richard. Guys, come on up. I just had to do that. I love Richard, and I love messing with him. But, hey, guys, we can leave church on a light note sometimes. We can leave on a positive, fun note because, if you're not being happy where you're at, if you're not being blessed, check up on that this week and think, hey, I want to have some fun with life. But you guys can go ahead and stand. We're getting ready to sing and be dismissed. But think about this week. Think about what I've talked about and how maybe you can become blessed in your life. And if you've got any questions about that, come see any of us. Come here on Friday nights if you deal with struggle in your life. We'd love to have you. But it's just another small group like any others. We just kind of deal with some special circumstances and topics. So don't have to be an addict to come to that. Just wanted to get a plug in for that. And if you're looking for a place to be fulfilled, one thing that we're going to be doing here in about 2 weeks is we're participating in something called the Widow's Harvest Ministry. It's where we go and we help a ministry here in town. They have some jobs and things that they would like for us to do to help them out in this ministry. And what we need is need you to go ahead and volunteer if you'd like to participate that in men, women, children, so they can divide out the jobs. They don't know how many men they'll have coming, how many children, etc. And they want to plan ahead and make it an effective day of ministry for us to do some tasks for them. So if you would sign up. Is there a sign-up sheet back here, Kim? There is a sign-up sheet back here. And if you have further questions, ask Kim about that. It's a way maybe you can find some happiness and blessedness in your life by serving somebody else this week. So many things we can do, guys. And so much I want for you to participate in and for you to feel the happiness that many of us feel in serving God. This just as we leave, let me give you this word of prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your blessings and what it really means. And I thank you for the ability to be fulfilled despite our circumstances. Now, sometimes, God, we do slip up and it hurts, God, but you always lead us through it, God. And I just pray that you'll touch lives out there this morning. I know so many people are mourning and hurt and struggling in their lives. God, I just pray this morning that you'll bless them as we leave today. We'll find some measure of happiness from the internal realization that if they believe in you, if they believe your Son died and rose again and paid the penalty for their sins, there's something to be eternally happy for right there, God. If someone hasn't made that decision or is confused about what it looks like to follow Christ, I pray that they'll seek you out, seek one of us out, Lord, pray about it, and come to the knowledge of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, God. So that's our goal for everyone here, Lord. Just pray you'll be with us. Thank you for our musicians, our music, for you to say this gift. Pray you'll bless us through this.